So welcome everybody. Thank you very much for coming today. It's August 25th and the theme for today has to do with meaning in life and possibly the Cathar perspective on meaning. I find myself at the moment in the Cathar, the south part of France where they used to live quite a few centuries ago. So we start every meeting with a meditation that it's aimed at merging or blending the divine feminine and the divine masculine within us. And so you can close your eyes and draw all your energy into your solar plexus, into the solar plexus of your chest. And breathe there for a while. Breathe deeply. Close your eyes if you haven't yet. And then draw the power of Guanyin, the goddess of mercy, the goddess of compassion, into your solar plexus area until you feel that she is really part of you. Until you feel her burning flame within you. And then invite Metatron, the Lord of the Universe, to descend for your crown chakra and blend with Guanyin's energy, making it the union of the divine feminine and the divine masculine within ourselves. Breathe deeply into this union. Breathe deeply until you see or feel or sense the burning light of the union of Guanyin and Metatron. And then let the light of their union expand throughout your inner energy body until you feel that it might burst. Let that energy fly gently out of you as if it were a divine bird touching everything with its wings. Do this slowly. Picture that energy coming out of you, touching everything in your surroundings, your house, your family, your neighbors, the town where you live, your district or your county, the state where you live, the country where you live, the world, the universe. Do this until you empty yourself and share your light energy with the rest of the world. Then be still and quiet and watch or listen for what may happen and be at peace in the silence. Thank you. Thank you very much for being present today, tonight, or this morning. What I like to do also when I start a meeting like this is to play the Cathar hymn, the Bouvier it's called. And it's even more appropriate today since I find myself in the south of France. Thank you very much, everybody, again, for being here today, tonight. This hymn from the Cathar, the Bouvier, which relates to the constellation Boots in Arcturus, is transmitting light codes, and that's one of the reasons why I like to play it for every meeting. So thank you very much again for being here. I had some interesting days in Montségur, the first 3 days after I arrived in France. And I've been kind of wondering what to share this evening. I don't want to repeat something that I shared in writing. I find myself in a place in France which is obviously very meaningful. And I've had, and I'm still rebuilding, a lot of connections with people who may have lived around this area a few centuries ago. And I wanted to tell you one story because it was very, very mystical from the beginning. It's the story of how I connected with one of the participants. I'm attending a seminar with about 23, 24 people. The seminar is led by a woman who came all the way from South Africa. Her name is Judith Kuzel, and she's a very spiritual being who's been writing and doing soul readings. And she did one of soul readings for me about 2 years ago. 2.5 years ago, and that's how I learned about my Cathar past and my Cathar inheritance, in a sense. And one of the participants I connected early on with her, she came all the way from Melbourne in Australia. And I found it very interesting because she shared a itinerary coming from Australia to France, and she's from Melbourne, again, and that's where my wife studied about 25 years ago. And then she said she was going to travel to Singapore, which is very close to my wife's hometown, the next town over in Malaysia. And then she was set to arrive in France on the 20th of August, which was also the day when I arrived, or was supposed to arrive. And I thought there was something, you know, something else. It's not something I could sense, but sometimes you just have too many synchronicities or too many you know, things that there's obviously a message. And there was another bigger message on Saturday, excuse me, because I was supposed to fly from Seattle to Chicago to Frankfurt, and then from Frankfurt to Toulouse. And our flight got delayed departing Chicago for about 2 hours. So I was 100% sure to miss my connection in Frankfurt. And Lufthansa, I was flying with Lufthansa from Frankfurt to Toulouse. We rerouted me from, instead of going possibly from Munich or waiting for the next flight to Toulouse, rerouted me for Paris, and Paris, so Frankfurt, Paris, and then Paris, Toulouse. And I found myself on the same flight as this woman who was coming from Melbourne. So I knew that there was something very special, and I went to the gate, where I thought I would find her, and there was very crowded, very French organization. There were two flights leaving 5 minutes apart from the same gate, one from Marseille, one from Toulouse. And I looked around, and there was one seat available, and I sat, and there she was next to me, to my left. And I recognized who she was. I had seen her picture. But, you know, there's des indices, the clues that sometimes you can't miss because they are just too big. And it was obviously a reason for me to reconnect with this person. It's just I didn't know the nature of the connection. And I wanted to talk at some point. She had shared, in addition to that, I gave her a ride down to Toulouse. She spent the night in Toulouse Saturday night when I came directly to Montségur. And so we spoke a little bit, but not much, and we were both very tired. And so the seminar started yesterday, and I wanted to, you know, to share something with her and learn about what our connection was about. And today, during lunchtime, I had a chance to talk to her. And it happened that our connection is through Marie Magdalene, which is not surprising, but at the same time, it's, you know, I couldn't know that ahead of time. And there is a Qatar connections between the two of us. It's much less obvious. She hasn't really mentioned that. But she mentioned, you know, being around Marie Magdalene in the south of France, and as well as receiving the teachings of Marie Magdalene. And apparently she was intronized, I don't think it's an English word, but she was taught by Marie Magdalene to teach in the south of France after Marie Magdalene left. I think she left for England or Glastonbury, I believe. And finally I was able to, you know, to find out about, we were about to find out about this connection. And it's only the beginning, but I thought it was very interesting when there's a strong connection or even a strong attraction to one person like this, that there's a, you know, we're coming together in this seminar, the 23 or 24 people for a reason. And yet I get a stronger connection, a stronger calling for meeting with one person. And this is what I wanted to share, because I'm not, it's interesting too. Everybody obviously functions differently on the mind level, on the in the head, and on the heart level. And I don't seem to connect a lot with my heart these past few days. A bit more using my detective mind and trying to put the different pieces of the puzzle together. And I think that's one, at least two pieces we're able to put together. This woman, her name is Val, and myself. And there may be more for us to fathom and to discover, to unearth. But it was definitely, I think, a big piece of the puzzle. And another one who really took me out of the blue this afternoon, we had sort of a break around 4 o'clock. And suddenly a person whom I knew, but I hadn't had a chance to talk to her, she came all the way from Poland. And she came to me and she said, I want to talk to you about the Book of Love. And the Book of Love is, there's different versions about it, but apparently it was initially written by the Essenes, possibly in ancient Egypt, and then brought to today's Israel. And it may have been, from what I read, been modified or rewritten by both Yeshua and Marie Magdalene. And then at some point, the book came to Europe. My assumption is that it came to France, to the south of France, when Marie Magdalene and Joseph of Arimathea traveled to the south of France in their small boats, the boats with no oars. And that's pretty much all that I know or suggest. And then from what I read as well, this Book of Love at some point belonged to the Cathars. And I don't know for how long, I don't know how the Cathars got hold of it. It's also my assumption that this Book of Love had been protected by the Templars and that there was some sort of an alliance between the Templars and the Cathars. But my understanding is that the Cathars were using this Book of Love to teach their rituals and their ceremonies, their consolamentum. And there's a great chance that this book eventually landed, so-called landed in Montségur, and it was part of the so-called treasure of the Cathars. And I was involved with it. I spent a good amount of time in Montségur before the end of the siege in March 1244. And it's obvious that I was involved with this Book of Love in some function, in some manner. Except I wasn't a bishop, so I wasn't the one directly using this book to teach or to perform some rituals. But again, it's something very mystical. This woman came out of the blue, and it wasn't the right time to talk, but she said also that she had a vision about someone taking this book of love out of Montségur, and I would assume that that's what happened, that the book at some point disappeared for a good cause. And it's also my understanding from what Judith Kuzel told me, that this book of love is hidden somewhere in the Pyrenees until the time is ripe, until the universe, I would say, is mature enough, is as adult enough. I guess we're not there, quite there yet. But at some point, this book of love will reappear and make its way to wherever it's supposed to go and however it's supposed to be used. But obviously, it's something which is very beneficial for the whole of humanity. So this is what I wanted to share in terms of what has been happening lately in my own world. Again, it's at this point, I'm going to be around next Thursday as well. So it's only a beginning. It's only the beginning of a discovery of whatever I need to. I'm here. I'm set to discover this 2 weeks. But I still think I'm making some inroads into the reason. There's a reason why, you know, we connect with people that are coming from different places around Europe, Australia and the US. And again, I don't know all the reasons. So this is what I wanted to share with you. Again, this kind of meeting is not, purpose is not especially to teach. When I look at those meetings, it's something, it's interesting because I had that thought this afternoon. One of my goals for these meetings, for these classes, is to build community and community of not so much like-minded people, but people on a spiritual path who want to share their energy, their love, their light with each other, but also with the world, with the universe at large. And I thought this afternoon when I looked at the way the room was set up, it was mostly Judith Kuzel teaching or lecturing, and she has so much knowledge and wisdom to share. But at the same time, she was facing the room, facing the audience, ourselves. And we couldn't see each other. I was on the first row, and we had to turn around to see other people. And it's not my idea or my ideal of a community. In the past few years, I've been able to form circles of, again, people who come together for a purpose or for a reason. And I think those circles tend to be more conducive to sharing and especially to seeing each other. And to, I think eye contact is very important in this respect. And so we'll see how it evolves. Maybe there's a 3 day break this weekend, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So maybe on Tuesday next week, things will take a different turn. But it's something I wanted to share too, because it's a thought that came today and that is important to me. And in our case, we are virtually around the world, I mean, and 4 or 5 different countries, and it's a different setup, obviously. So thank you.
Gilles, if I can say, this is for me a very unusual way of communicating, so it is a little bit, you know, we don't know when to speak, how to speak. But thank you so much for starting groups like these. Listening to what you were saying about, you know, connecting on the heart level and the synchronicities, it feels to me like the whole of planet is becoming more receptive to the kind of things that you've been talking about. And I'm sure everybody else here will have many stories to share, because there is, it seems to me, a raising of the human consciousness, even though it might not always appear to be so, because the world seems to be so, torn apart at the moment. But underneath, there is an incredible wave of spirituality that's happening. And even we few probably can't even understand how great it is, and that it is happening so strongly. If I might tell the story of my sister. Last night, she went to visit a friend, which is also a mystic. She went to visit a friend, and when she left, somebody in the frail care home ran up to her friend and said, "Who's it that has just left the building?" And he said, "No, it's my friend Cecile. She's just left." And this woman said that all she saw was a bright light wherever she was walking. Now, that to me just shows how people are becoming more perceptive of seeing not with the eyes, but with the heart. And it's happening everywhere. This lady who doesn't even know my sister just saw light. And that this kind of thing is happening more and more. And I think that it is great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do other people also feel that there is this raise in consciousness, human consciousness, in the people around them, or in the world at large?
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think I'm fading out a bit. I was listening with interest to what Anne was saying, and it just stopped, so I didn't know if she had stopped talking or if it was my connection.
I think she stopped. Can you hear us, Ania?
Yes.
Okay. I think she stopped.
Yes, I did stop when I had finished talking.
Did you hear Anne's question? I think Anne asked questions about are we witnessing this rise of consciousness in the world? That was our question, more or less, rephrased.
Okay. I don't think I heard the beginning of that, but while you were speaking about your sister's experience, that's the part that I had heard, it seems as if little by little we're just joining together, and as Gilles related that beautiful experience of connection with the woman from Australia, you know, that he connected with on the plane. From my personal experience, which I would assume is widely held by many other people, since we're all getting closer and closer to this unified field, it seems as if the veil that has been the forgetfulness that we've had as far as at least our identity. I think many of us who are here, you know, on the spiritual path have understood that we're here for more than just to live our lives, you know, a good life and live and die and so on. You know, we know we came here for a purpose. So But we have the forgetfulness of who we are, which is just such a mystery, you know. And here Gilles is in Cathar land, you know, searching for his roots to put these pieces together. And I think that for me, it just seems as if this is what is being revealed to us piece by piece. I call it a breadcrumb trail, you know, that our guides or higher dimensional helpers whoever we happen to be working with are guiding us so that we're empowering ourselves on our journey. Because it's a journey of empowerment to find out who you are. I think, you know, many can understand what we are. You know, we came from here or there, the stars, you know, divine light, you know, whatever. But as far as our past on Earth and in other multidimensional, lifetimes, it's all quite a big question mark. And it's really fascinating to try to put together all these pieces. So that's my experience of what's going on now is we're all merging towards this unified field and you know, we're connecting with people who have, you know, a very similar journey to us, and we all hold pieces for each other. So, you know, it's really been quite interesting. Never a dull moment.
Yes, Anya, you are so right. What I have found, though, is that what is so important is that we need to actually initiate, and then then the ball gets rolling. But we need to initiate all the time this raise in consciousness and this connection that we have with our true self within, not always to look outside, but to keep looking within at this connection that we have with our divine self, which is one with everything. A little bit like in the meditation at the beginning, bringing in the two energies, feminine and masculine, from below and above, the magnetic, the electric. And that's all part of who we are. But unless we initiate that thought and use it and feel it, and it's more than believe it, but know it, then we can really start connecting. As long as we look outside and look for an intellectual understanding of these things, we're not going to get very far. But when we really get to feel in the solar plexus and then through the whole body, we must raise in consciousness and raise the whole of humanity in what we are doing. But I felt that it's very important for me anyway, that one needs to remain conscious of initiating and really wanting to become one with the divine, to actually feel it and express it in our lives. And I think that the reason why Cecile shines so is that she actually expresses her learning from within to her external life. She just sends out that love to everybody. She looks at people through the eyes of love, but not intellectually, but really she just sends it out. So it's very nice to do it in meditation, and that's brilliant because it teaches us what we are doing in our daily lives so that we can do the meditation as a living expression of who we are. But it does take our effort and our desire and our want to do this and be passionate about it. And then we can only rise.
Yes, very, very true. Very true. And it is so important to keep the focus within. Because this is, from my understanding anyway, it's where our divinity lies and where our wisdom lies. And it's where the heart is. I think as both Sheila and Anne had mentioned, you know, our heart is within us, and to combine the heart and the mind is the challenge. So here we are.
Thank you. I wanted, you first mentioned, I think you mentioned the mission or purpose. It's interesting. It's very, it's very like two live synchronicities. The first one when Anne mentioned the story of her sister, she mentioned the name Cécile. And Cécile was the name of Judy Cousel when she lived around here in the 13th century south of France. And the second one is the way she started the seminar yesterday. The very first thing she talked about is mission and purpose. And she quoted, I'm sure you know the name, Viktor Frankl, someone who lived in concentration camps. And I assume he was a Jew. And, he was wondering about the reason why some people in the camps, they couldn't survive. And some, despite the conditions and what was going on, they were able to survive. And he found out that the main reason why is that the people who survive had a mission and a purpose. And I think Judith, stressed the importance of having a mission, something greater than one's self, something that expands. I mean, I'm sure you know what you mean, that I mean, but something that expands beyond the boundaries of who we are as a physical human being, in a sense. And it comes, the image that just comes to mind now is a beacon, a beacon of love, like a lighthouse. We as a human being, but also as groups, groups that are getting together, are emitting light, and we are shining the light all over the place. And I think there's something else to life. And a question that I had for a long time is, what does it take for people to wake up to this thing called purpose or mission? And it's, I think I will keep searching for some time, but it's, it makes life interesting.
I'm sorry, Sheila, I didn't hear you. You said what you were searching for a long time is...
Yes, I'm still kind of puzzled. What is it that makes some people kind of wake up? By wake up, I mean, why do they suddenly start working on a purpose or on a mission? Some people are completely asleep. I mean, I look around, at least in my family, my mother, for instance, it's a generation thing, but when I try to talk about spiritual things, I don't go very far, which is understandable. But some people, there's a spark, there's a divine spark at some point that lights up. And I'm kind of, intrigued as, how does this happen? Is this just the divine getting within ourselves and lighting us up? I don't know. It's a question I've had for some time, but it's almost like a guiding question. But
yes,
go ahead.
Yes. Hello.
Okay, Gilles. Yes, that is a very puzzling question. Now, something which I also would like to ask everybody is that. Have we reached a stage in human consciousness where people like us who are really passionate, we've woken up and we're really working on the path and raising our consciousness, are we not maybe facilitating the waking of a lot of people who may have remained asleep for a lot longer, but actually now a lot more people are waking up. Yes, there are still billions maybe who are still asleep, but where maybe a few years ago or a decade ago, I'm just taking figures, there might have been 500,000 people, you know, who are really conscious and working on consciousness, whereas today there might be a billion. And it's because of the work that people like us are doing that's actually waking the consciousness of humanity, so that more people can wake up. Because yes, Gilles, it looks like a lot of them are fast asleep, really, you know, maybe those won't really wake up immediately, but there are a lot more that are catching on. And it's because of the work that we are doing. I'm not wanting to praise us, but it's just a fact that we are working on this level, and it has to have a human collective impact, like the meditation that we did. I mean, we're sending out those wings of the touch of the wings of love on everybody. It has to have an effect. Thank you.
Yes, I think for sure. One of the books that I had read many years ago, I think it was 1990, was when it came out, was Barbara Marciniak's book, Bringers of the Dawn. And one of the themes that was repeated so often was the fact that we are transmitters. And it really is all about energy. You know, like Anne mentioned with the meditation that we did, that she led us through, all that frequency is going out. And really, even if we don't do a meditation, just our presence, and, you know, and I don't say that with any kind of ego attached to it. It's just a, you know, it's just a metaphysical fact that when a higher vibration, a higher frequency connects with a lower frequency, it triggers the lower frequency and gives it the opportunity to rise. And that's very, quite simply, I think, you know, what we do, you know, in my idea anyway, of how we do affect people. Sometimes we don't even have to speak. It's just, you know, your presence, you know, that affects people. It you know, your energy, your aura, and your frequencies of love and light and so on, and your connection is interacting with another person's aura, with their energy, and even though they might not understand, they're being affected by it. So indeed, I think we do have great effect.
See, we're all on the same page.
Yes, and part of it, Anne, was I think that for many years, you know, so many of us on this path have been isolated. You know, I only speak for myself, but I know of many other people that I've connected to who feel so isolated because of spiritual understanding, which... you know, it makes it a challenge to interact with people who don't have it because of many factors, and I surely don't have to go into them. We're all aware of them. But I was told a really beautiful concept that I think really explains it to me anyhow, is that every village has one shaman. There's only one shaman in a village. And similar to ourselves, I'm sure we've all been shamans, priests, priestesses, nuns, monks, you know, warriors, whatever, in many of our lifetimes. And what, you know, whatever you want to call that particular spiritual connection and role, we're sort of placed somewhere to have that effect of those around us. And many of us haven't had that blessing of being born into a family that was conscious and, you know, having that particular path. You know, many of us have been born into difficult situations and have had a difficult life, moving around a lot and just constantly changing and evolving. And I think this is just part of our role, that even if we don't know specifically, I'm here to, you know, whatever, write a book or, you know, build a community or whatever it may be, just being ourselves really has that effect. And the isolation I found after 2012, I would say, started to dissipate as far as the connection with you know, what I would call soul family. And the connections just became stronger and stronger and stronger. And they just continue to happen, which is wonderful. So that's what I have to say.
That's wonderful. Maybe the internet as well, personally, has helped a lot with the isolation. For me, what it's done, it's actually made me realize that there are a lot more people out there who are like us. And while we may still be quite isolated with the people who make up the run of the mill of our daily lives, there is this connection, and we're starting to feel that there is this family out there of like-minded people, and that in itself can help us in our isolated or maybe not so isolated a place to continue and to link in with everybody. The world has just become so small that when one visualizes humanity as a whole, it's not so difficult anymore, whether one visualizes all the Chinese and the Russians and the Argentinians and the Americans and America and Singapore, and the whole world just suddenly becomes Africa, becomes one. And that, to me, being part of the internet has helped me to link in and to feel that there is a really strong, beautiful, energetic, passionate group of humans who are rising, and that has been absolutely wonderful. I must say, within my own surroundings over here, it maybe I just landed with my bum in the butter. It's just lovely. But we are transmitters and we are receivers as well. And we can receive all this beauty and energy and love and compassion that so many people are now just spreading throughout the world because of all the atrocities that are happening. I often feel that people are not so focused on, this is horrible, but wow, you know, what can we do to help to raise the life of all the people involved? And so that shift in consciousness has also happened worldwide, which is fantastic. And I think it's going to eventually just stop all the atrocities sooner than later. Thank you.
Hello. I just have to add one thing in this meeting that I wholeheartedly agree with, going back to the idea of transmitting to like-minded souls all across the world. I have teachers that I have run into locally who they basically have the habit of praying every morning, and they do their meditations. And they're mostly, my two teachers locally are Native American. And they pray to the Creator. And every day at sunup, that is what they do. They pray for the earth, and they pray for humanity. For humanity to evolve. And another thing I wanted to touch upon is that I have also had the experience of the year 2012. Really, I had my doubts about it at first, but the year 2012 was also a benchmark, or, you know, a catalyst for me in terms of my development. But with that, I have to say that due to some construction in the background that seems to be going on and off, I have to mute myself again. And I hope to talk more later on in future meetings. And thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. And yes, you know, that's the beauty, is that there are so many people, and it doesn't matter whether one is connecting to the creative spirits or God or Allah, or it really doesn't matter. And that is, I think, one of the most beautiful changes that I feel is happening in this world today. Everybody is just sending out love from the heart, and that is universal. There's no monopoly on that, and that is just great. Thank you.
Yes, thank you both, Paul and Anne, for sharing. It's wonderful.
What I love about silences now is that we can always fill that space with just sending out love and compassion to the world. So there are no uncomfortable silences anymore. We can just fill every single moment of our day with being productive.
The rooster is productive too.
Yes, the rooster is breaking the silence.
I think he wants to share.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. He's joining in. Is that from Hawaii, the rooster?
Yes, I live on a sea farm. We farm with shrimp. And we, of course, we have our own hens and chickens and mm-hmm. birds and everything. It's just lovely.
Yes, I've found that roosters don't just crow at daybreak anymore. They've freed themselves from that. They just crow whenever they like.
Yes, not really. They normally crow if they want to call their hens. When he wants to call them to him, then he starts crowing, and then they kind of like migrate back to him. Or he crows when he's found a catch of, you know, of food. So there is a pattern. There is a consciousness to his his crowing.
Yeah, that's wonderful to hear. I've only actually heard them. I've never actually been in the environment to know exactly, you know, what the behavioral pattern is. So yeah, thank you for sharing that. So there's certainly something going on there.
Yes, all the time, never a dull moment. And actually, being in nature, they say that on a higher level, it just helps us to just do everything on a higher note. Nature just automatically lifts us up. So I'm glad that. Even though he might not be in your direct environment, nature is also just lifting us up all the time.
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm actually quite blessed to live in a rural area. And, I talk to Gilles all the time about, you know, which kind of visitor, you know, appeared today, because there's always, messages for me. I take it that they're ambassadors to Gaia, and they, you know, often have these very profound messages of guidance to bring us, either information or a confirmation or and it's always seems to go right to the heart of the matter of what will help us on our path. It's really quite beautiful. Yeah. And I agree, it's so profound, to be living in that kind of direct connection with the earth itself and her kingdom. It's really a blessing.
And I believe that really Mother Nature, Gaia, the earth, the planet itself is also a catalyst to getting us humans going as well, to feel the connection. Most of the people in my life have seen nature just as nature, but it's so much more. It's a consciousness that is so pure. We pollute it, but it is not polluted, and that is something that is quite amazing to start to realize, that we can pollute the physical, but we cannot touch the spirit, the essence, the divine essence of nature. And that is why nature is our support, our life, our guide all the time. Gilles, on a totally different note, I see that Gerard is also with us.
Gerhard, yes, that's a name, yeah.
Yes.
You can see the list of participants, and
yes,
some of them express, I mean, there's freedom to share or not share, so some people are more silent than others. But
when I was growing up until my late 30s, early 40s, you wouldn't have heard me say a word. Now you can't shut me up.
Wow.
I don't know what happened.
It's a great transformation. I mean, you must be on a mission, no?
I'm on a mission to help humanity.
wake up the world, yeah. There's a lot to do, I think. And supposedly there's great changes coming down. At least we've heard about, all these Nisara and all the changes in the financial system. So I guess I think we're all going to have a role to play in that new environment. I don't know how soon and how it's going to manifest, but I'm kind of intrigued. I mean, and I mean, the word I hear very often is chaos. So I think there will be chaos on a material level, I guess. People were not ready for what may happen. But I think some of us that have ready themselves for a long time, I think there will be an enhanced mission and possibly a way to support those people in within the chaos or the trauma. We'll see. I keep reading messages on Facebook, so I guess it's Facebook and other sources. But
yes, and the thing is, we don't really know how this shift will unfold, other than what we see every day, and it seems more and more to be just a daily progression where we don't know what, quote unquote, the goal is, in a sense. We don't know if there even is an end point. I know, you know, there are many people who are, focused on one particular aspect of a shift, whether it's disclosure or, you know, humanitarian funds or whatever it might happen to be. And what I've learned is that what works for me, and I'm not saying it's going to work for anyone else, I'm just sharing what works for me, is that I just focus on today, because in our multidimensional navigational system here, we're just always in the now, and creating is very different than it was many years ago, where you kind of, you know, put together a long-term plan, or, you know, the 5-year plan, or whatever it happens to be. And, you know, while we need to be structured in our creativity, there are so many outside influences, X factors to which may influence what we're actually doing, that for myself, I just found it easier to let go of all of that and just, stay focused and present in this particular day, and not too much forward, because I found that focusing on any particular situation or event or happening took me out of the present moment, and it made me feel as if, well, I can't start living my life until X, Y, or Z happens. And until then, none of this counts. It's all just, you know, after this happens, after that happens, so on and so forth. And I found that that was really not in my particular best interest on the path to focus that way, that it made me ignore too much the beauty, you know, of what was right before me, and to making my life work today instead of, you know, wishing and hoping and expecting, you know, for some future event to happen that would, you know, change everything for everybody. And I think that, the economic system very well may be on its way to collapse. You know, everything is collapsing. You know, we know that, we can see that. And I feel as if the more we who are aware and on this path really just focus on connecting to the earth and connecting to our divine presence, for me, that is the greatest service, and will help to stabilize, the earth as she's going through her own process. So that's what I'm sharing.
Thank you very much.
Gilles, I want to go back to 1994 and the elections in South Africa. And why is this relevant? We think that there might be chaos and, you know, all this, all the rest of it when disclosure happens. But just look in South Africa, before the 94 elections, I mean, the white people were armed to the teeth. There was tension everywhere. And on the day of the election, there wasn't a fire shot. There was peace in all the lines and the queues at all the polling stations. It went beautifully. And we had a really beautiful country, because I'm actually South African, for a number of years as the energy of Mandela and F.W. de Klerk, and actually the spirit, the true spirit of the people, carried South Africa through the elections and afterwards. So I think that there is a spirit inside all of humanity, and when disclosure, full disclosure happens, I'm sure that spirit is going to be so happy and so relieved, and people will be able to feel what it is that has happened, that I think there might not be that chaos. Of course, we will need to hold that space as well, but I'm sure that it's going to be a lot less traumatic than what we think. And maybe that's one of the reasons why it's not happening now. It's because enough people need to be prepared or reach that level where humanity is responsive enough to be able to withstand the whole process.
Thank you. Yeah. See what happens. I think some of the people who haven't really walked the path, I think will be in for a shock. The ones I'm thinking of are people working in Wall Street, but there may be others. But I think it's, you know, I can't look into the future, but I guess I'm just looking forward to whatever needs to happen. I think it's a step. It's a big step forward that humanity needs to take. And I think Ania was mentioning not the fall, but the forgetfulness. You know, I think it's, and Judy Kuzel also touched about that. When things happen gradually, I think she mentioned different civilizations. She mentioned Atlantis, of course, but she mentioned another one before. Avalon. There was Avalon, Lemuria, and then Atlantis. And that's in Atlantis that everything happened, and that there was a lot of manipulation of especially the men's minds were manipulated, and then the divine feminine felt very threatened. There was a lot of abuse of women, and the divine feminine went underground, and obviously the divine feminine is making its way back, and I think it's one of the phenomenon. It's both conscious, but I think it's also a very much an underground. It's like an enveloping phenomenon that is carrying humanity forward, even though we may not be able to realize that. But I think, like you said, the spirit is there to support us. But I think there's so many, you know, elements and entities that are there watching us and caring for us. So I think it's. Even though we can't, I can't, you know, acknowledge that on a conscious level, but I know that I know that they were heading the right direction through the right kind of guides and energies.
That's the key word. It's an amazing process, isn't it?
It is.
And we are actually part of it in this lifetime. That is such a gift and a blessing. And that we are here for a purpose and to do something, which is also another amazing thing, that we are aware enough that, you know, we are here with a purpose and a reason, and at a very, very beautiful and special time in the evolution of humanity, that even with all the terror and everything that's happening right now, that there is this counterbalance of something that's going to happen, which is going to change everything. Maybe I'm just far too optimistic.
We need people like you, so. Thank you. Thank you. I thought maybe if no one else has anything to say, I thought it might be a good time to close. I don't have any kind of final words. Usually the theme flows from week to week, depending on what goes on into my surroundings and my consciousness. So the idea is to suggest something and then see who shows up, in a sense. So if you feel a call to come back next week, please do so. There will be a meeting. I will still be in this area. So I would assume that some will happen by then in your life as well. So feel free to come back and share your light and your presence with us. It's greatly appreciated at many levels, even levels we can't even start to think about. At a much higher level, I think there's people watching what we're doing and supporting us from afar.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, so thank you so much, Gilles, for bringing us together. And as a conference that I went to, one of the presenters said, and remember, what we did here cannot be undone. So I just share that because... yes, we have done something just by connecting here and sharing our light and supporting each other. And that's so beautiful and important to do right now. So thank you all for being here.